This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, there we go. It was that music. I wasn't hearing you. I was only hearing the music. Hey, Dean, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How's your week been?
It's been amazing. We're face-to-face in studio today with plexiglass, and we're socially distanced, so that's important. Oh, I see what's going on. No, it's this one.
There we are.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yep.
There we are.
Now you're on a mic.
Now I'm on a mic. So it's so big weekend here in Toronto. Doors open. Toronto.
That's right. Hundreds of places are open that you don't normally get to get inside of.
Including
where we are, the Zoomerplex.
Zoomerplex. So we're expecting within, by the end of our broadcast, we're expecting
it'll be open.
Lots and lots of folks here.
It's 10 to 3. Yeah, I've been here before during doors open, and they do. They bring tours through, and people kind of oogle us through the glass and wave. And it's fun.
It is. Lots of fun. Listen, I'm going to give out those numbers. I know you have a couple of announcements, but we would love for you to call in with any questions that you have for Charlie, anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or toll-free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Of course, let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, and I will give you your garden wings.
Woo! Yeah. Wings. We get two wings.
You got it. And call often, call early, and one question per call, please. And you have a couple of announcements?
Yeah, just reminders. Today, the Agent Court Garden Club is hosting flowers, vegetable, plant sale, and a white elephant sale. They've got white elephants for sale in Agent Court today. Rain or shine, outside 10 a.m. to 2 o'clock or until sold out at the Knox United Christian Education Center parking lot, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. Members are bringing plants, so there'll be flowers and vegetables and houseplants. Peter Keeping is a specialty clematis grower.
Yes.
He'll have some clematis for sale. Somebody named Sheila Cool, who I do not know, will be there with a selection of uncommon plants and an abandoned treasure table for your shopping enjoyment.
Very nice. That sounds very good.
Quickly, one more. Yep. Don't forget the Cabbage Town Preservation Association is hosting the Hidden Gardens and Private Spaces Tour in Cabbage Town next weekend, Sunday, June 5th, 10 until 3. For more information, go to www.cabbagetownpa.ca.
Fabulous. Well, the lines are already lighting up, but we have to take a quick break. We will be right back with lots more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, yes, we are back on The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here in studio at Zoomerplex.
In person.
In person with Charlie Dobbin.
Which means we're on the web. If you are listening or don't want to listen to your old AM radio but want to listen to us on the computer, you get to see us too.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my fancy schmancy jacket today, you know, because it's Doors Open Toronto.
You're so dressed up. Yeah. I know, very suave.
Suave and deboner, isn't that what they say?
That's
there we are. Let's go to our first caller. We have Sharon, who is calling from Gravenhurst. Good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show, Sharon.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a couple of large planters, 22-inch, on my deck. Now, my deck gets full sun. It gets very hot. I would like to know what vine I could plant, because I'd like to have it weave in and out of my railing, and something preferably that would maybe attract hummingbirds.
Oh, you're not asking much. Very specific.
Okay, bees?
Not bees. I can't guarantee you won't get bees, but you know what? Fast-growing, loves the sun, has red flowers, there's your hummingbird, is Scarlet Runner Vine. scarlet runner bean. So seeds, you go to your local anywhere, grocery store, you know, Canadian Tire, everybody's got seeds these days. You're looking for scarlet runner beans. They grow pretty quickly from seed. You'll be up in within a week, 10 days. Make sure, of course, just with like with any seed, you're going to keep moist. Once they start to grow, they will grow up to 20 feet in one summer. So you can certainly get some. You'll have to fertilize if your planters, I assume your planters have like a container mix of soilless mix of some kind in the containers. It's not topsoil, right?
Forget what I put in last year. I grew tomatoes in them last year.
Okay, and did the tomatoes do well?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so what I do is my containers, as I'm planting, I use a slow-release fertilizer. So if you are going to the store to get some seeds, get a hold of slow-release granular fertilizer, and they have it for specifically tomatoes, but they have all-purpose, general, flowering, whatever, and follow the directions how much to put in before you plant your seeds, and it'll feed those beans all season. That's what I would get. Otherwise, you know, sweet peas are lovely, morning glory is lovely, they're all fast-growing, they all love the sun, but if you were looking for the hummingbirds, you've got to concentrate on the color red.
Right. Okay, are these annual or perennial?
Annual. Those are all annual.
Annual, okay.
Where you live, I'd be shocked and surprised if any perennial plant survived in containers over the winter.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for your question,
Sharon. Thanks for calling.
Great. Yeah, so red is the color.
Red is what hummingbirds see. That's why hummingbird feeders are always red.
They are always red.
And but you know how we used to put red food into them, but they say now don't go with the red dye. It's not good for the little birds.
Right.
But it's a sweet nectar sugar syrup that you make, but they're very attracted to red. I actually had a hummingbird stuck in my garage.
Oh.
This past week, and poor little thing, it was a little female hummingbird. She kept going up into the ceiling, and my ceiling is, I don't know, 20 feet high or something. And so I was pulling everything red I could find and putting it down at ground level so that the bird would come down to the red, and then all the doors were open.
Right,
it was easy to fly out.
But couldn't figure it out.
Well, it just kept humming and hovering up at the top. Right. Eventually she left them.
Yeah. My neighbor was telling me just the other day, he has about 7 or 8 hummingbirds now that he's got coming around his
and they're amazing. It sounds like a big mosquito when they come by.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
I have 3 or 4 coming to my feeder as
they're,
well.
They're pretty magical to watch. I want to give those numbers out again. Again, if you're calling from the Toronto area, the number is 416-360-0740 or anywhere in the province of Ontario. It is a toll-free call, 1-866-740-4740. Yes, and we're going to go to, we've got Leona on the line. Who's calling from Toronto? So good morning, Leona. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Thank you, Charlie and Dean.
Morning.
Morning.
I have a columbine for the first time. It looks like a little octopus. Mm. So which end do I put up in the soil? Which end goes up? The head of the octopus or all of the little legs?
So this is a dormant root it's columbine for sure, right?
I received it in a box from Holland and it came in a bag with some soil. Uh-huh. And there's two hardy perennials in the bag, so it looks like an octopus.
Yeah, the little legs go down, pointy end up. Yeah, sounds a bit like anemone. That's why I was just wondering. Anemone is a very much of a strange looking dormant item, but yeah, legs down, point up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Season's greetings.
Yeah. Thank you,
Leona.
Bye bye.
Bye bye now. Now, I got to tell you, Charlie, I meant to congratulate you at the top of the show, of course, on the premiere of the new series, right, on Vision TV.
Healing Gardens.
Yep. Yeah.
The world premiere was last Monday.
And I was so surprised that the episode took place not far from where I live, really.
Yeah, truly. It's a forested area not far from you, up north of Alliston. And we were at Gary Thibault's very sustainable, off-the-grid lifestyle. And he was showing us and sharing with us some of the things he does to maintain his health.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, I learn everything. Sorry, I should say I always learn something with every one of these episodes that we've produced. And the thing that Gary was doing that I hadn't really considered is he plants a vegetable garden. So that's what we're all doing right now. We're planting our tomatoes and everything. But there's nothing to harvest at this time of year. He is harvesting what is naturally growing at this time of year. And guess what's that, right? dandelions.
Right, fiddleheads.
Yeah, if you have the right environment, you might have fiddleheads.
Is it too early for mushrooms?
No, you could find mushrooms, depending again on your environment. Okay. But just like what's in your lawn, right? Mm-hmm. Lamb's quarters, just some really common weeds.
Creeping Charlie?
Yeah, little Creeping Charlie everywhere.
Everything is Creeping Charlie.
And he's eating that right now. That's
really?
What he eats in the spring. And of course, later he'll have lettuce and spinach and all those things to come out of the garden. But and when he's weeding the vegetable garden, he's saving the weeds to eat that night or that afternoon.
Very, very fascinating. Yeah, now, that airs, is it every Monday now?
Every Monday. So this coming Monday, 9 p.m.,
yes.
Vision TV.
Okay.
The episode coming is, we taped it at the University of British Columbia in the Natobi Memorial Garden, which is a beautiful, beautiful Japanese garden.
Fabulous. Okay, have to take a quick break, but we will be back with more right here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here with Charlie Dobbin, and I was just noticing that, you know, if small creatures become a problem, and I got to tell you, in our garden, which is a problem that our caller from Gravenhurst would not have, because she's on the balcony, we got the rabbits.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. And they're lovely to look
sweet.
At. They're so cute.
Yeah,
but my
cuddle.
Wife, I hear her, she bangs on the window.
Screaming at the robin.
She goes out and
rabbits.
She says, hey, get out of here. Because you know what they do? They,
what are they eating?
Well, they go up to her tulips and they bite like an inch below the beautiful bloom.
Oh.
And so you come out and the bloom is laying there in the ground just when you've waited all this time.
Yeah, you've grown some nice leaves, but you don't get the flowers.
Yeah.
I always thought it was squirrels that did that, but you're seeing the rabbits.
She's seeing the rabbits in her garden quite often.
Mm-hmm.
In
shotgun.
Our garden. Yes.
Dog. You need a dog.
Yeah, dog.
Dog.
Slingshot.
Yeah, that too.
But, yeah, no, she's not very happy with the small
bunnies.
Creatures. They're not.
And they're so cute.
They are cute. But, yeah, they were frolicking around. They were jumping over top of each other. It was very funny. Last night. And they go, oh, spring is in the air.
Yeah, really.
They're Twitter-pated. Okay, let's go to a call. We're going to Burlington now. Okay, we're going to talk to Diane. And, Diane, you are a first-time caller.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
I'm going to give you your garden wings. There you go.
Thank you.
You have earned them.
I received a beautiful orchid for Mother's Day. It's about 20 inches tall and has lovely white blooms. But what I'm worried about is watering, because I know you don't like to water by the calendar, but I can't reach in to feel.
No. Well, there's no soil to feel anyway. Is it growing in bark? When you look at the surface of the pot, is it bark chips?
It's bark on top and lots of roots, so there's no way of feeling the soil.
No. The only thing... Okay, so there's a couple ways you can do this. One is I just get used to the feel of the weight of the pot. So you have to pick up the pot. When it's been watered, it's going to feel a certain way. When it needs water, it's going to feel a lot lighter. For now, many people, I'm not a fan of this, but it does work, is the 3 ice cubes once a week on the surface of the bark. The ice slowly melts, because the trick with bark is that if you pour water in, it just whooshes right through. And the ice, on the other hand, will slowly turn into water, slowly move through the bark, and provide the appropriate moisture for all those roots. I just don't like the idea of ice. I think that if I was a tropical plant and somebody watered me with ice, I would just be like, sorry, this doesn't make sense. So I'm a pretty big fan of the best way to water, which is a bucket with water in it that's been sitting for at least 24 hours. So room temperature, sitting out, and when it's time, and again, I base this on the weight of the pot, so the pot's going to feel quite light, I immerse the entire pot under the water in the bucket. So hold the pot, hold the bark, because it's going to tend to float away, and you just slowly push the pot down under the water. The leaves can go right down too if the bucket's big enough. Flower should not go underwater, but the whole plant can go under the water. I'll often even put a little fertilizer in that water. A little orchid fertilizer is mixed in. Hold it down until the bubbles stop rising. At that point, you then carefully lift it out of the bucket and sit it in the sink and let it drain for 10, 15 minutes and then put it back where it was. And it's the best way by far to actually properly water orchids.
Okay, I'll try that.
All right.
Okay, fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Let
Thank
us
you.
Know
for
how
the
that goes.
There.
Yeah.
So you just gave me a great idea, you know, because as you know, I have four children, and you know, we have these situations where, you know, dishes don't go in the dishwasher, things don't get picked up, underwear gets left on the floor in the bathroom, et cetera, et
yeah,
cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
And I have an orchid.
Oh, okay.
So I was just thinking, I thought, you know, since it's a gradual process, I could just say, okay, again, glass of water and an eyedropper. Say, sit, you can stand there for 2 hours. Every 5 minutes, set your timer and just put a little drop of water in there. And that would be, you know.
Put them on orchid watering
yeah,
duty.
Orchid watering duty.
Maybe. I thought you were going to talk about immersing your kids in a bucket.
No, no, they've done nothing that bad. No, okay. No, it's just, you know, just get them with the tedious.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And know? They'll for sure love horticulture at the
oh,
end
yeah.
of it all. I mean, don't we all have that story from this when I was a kid when we did bad behavior? Yeah. Get out there and pull some weeds.
Pull some weeds, yeah.
So whoever thinks weeding is fun. It's like when you've been bad, you do weeds. So.
You do weeds.
Anyway,
you got
I've moved on.
Well, speaking of moving on, we have another caller. Uh-huh. We have Josie from Toronto. Good morning, Josie. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, what do you got for Charlie there, Josie?
It's regarding buying sheep or cow manure. Mm-hmm. I've been getting them in the grocery store. And can they be used interchangeably mm-hmm. for vegetables or flowers?
Yep. They're virtually identical, but not quite. So they have, like, remember how, like, manure is poo, right? So it's what did the animal eat and how did they digest it to end up with the manure, which is composted so that it will not be too acidic or too hot and burn your plants. The only, like, unless something's changed way, way, way back when I went to university and was studying this kind of stuff, it was explained to me at the time that cow manure, sheep manure, virtually interchangeable. If you really get into the nitty gritty, sheep manure has a tiny little bit more nitrogen than cattle manure. So from a nutritional perspective, sheep manure is tiny little bit more nutritious for plants, but otherwise either one works. Get
now,
whichever one's on sale.
When you plant them in the garden, is it okay to plant right away, or do you have to let it sit for a while?
No, no. If it's composted, it's coming out of a bag, and you can tell by the smell as well. Usually
yeah.
when it comes out of the bag, it doesn't even smell like manure. It just looks like a really dark, dark soil.
Mm-hmm. If, and there's a variation of prices, whether you buy them at the grocery store or the nursery. Mm-hmm. Is it basically the same thing?
Oh, it's all the same stuff. It's different manufacturers that are composting and bagging, and then of course they're supplying to different retailers. So
yeah.
it's really
okay. Thanks very much,
just
Charlie.
Go where it's on sale. Thank you. Thanks
yeah.
for calling.
Yeah, thanks for the question there, Josie. Charlie, I want to actually jump back to the last question. Just I had one question about water. You mentioned about leaving the bucket out, right? What about rain? Would rainwater?
Oh, it's the best.
Best. So we don't have to be concerned about bringing the rainwater in for our plants, no? It's all good.
Well, you mean just leave your orchid outside in the rain?
No, no, no. I mean, I can take the rainwater from outside. I can use it for watering my indoor plants. That's,
oh,
that's better.
It's the best.
Okay.
So
because we do have a rain barrel.
Yeah, I do too. Well, so the reason we sit the water, as I said, in a bucket overnight, number one, it brings it to the right temperature, right. to room temperature. But because our water typically is coming from a water treatment plant, they've added stuff to it. So it's got fluoride in it. It might have various and sundry kinds of ammonias, et cetera, to make it a clean, potable water.
Yeah.
That's why we want to let it sit out, because much of that will dissipate from the water as it sits out overnight and go into the atmosphere. Rainwater is perfect. It's the best. Mm-hmm. Your plants will sing to you if you water them with rainwater.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I've got rainwater. The other thing I've got is I've got some room on the lines. We do have some callers, which one of which we'll get to in a moment. But I'm going to give out those numbers again. Anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740 or toll free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 740-4740. And again, let us know if you are a first-time caller. Right now, we're going to go to Joanne, who is calling from Midland. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Garden Show, Joanne.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Morning.
Hey, I was excited when I saw
good morning.
Your name.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We bought some dahlia tubers and the same for peonies,
mm-hmm.
and we planted them a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and we fertilized them in that, but they don't see anything coming out of the ground.
Okay. So you planted them into the ground, full sun. What kind of, are they getting 6 hours or more sunshine every single day? Okay. Okay, and they were completely dormant when you planted them. There was no green showing at all?
No, there wasn't.
Okay, and the soil is reasonably well drained. It doesn't, it's not soggy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've grown them before in the same area.
Okay.
And haven't had the problem. Could we have planted them too deep?
Definitely, yes. Peonies, you want to see the top of the tuber. It should not be below ground.
That's what I was wondering.
If you can't see that sort of potato-y looking skin of the tuber, dig it up and raise it up, because a peony that's planted too deep will only give you leaves. It will not give you flowers. So get it up higher. It probably is just still dormant. If you've had a lot of rain, which you may or may not have, but certainly you might have last weekend, if they're too deep and if it's a soggy soil, these dormant plant tubers will rot. So we've got to make sure that they aren't rotten. So dig them up, take a look. Dahlias, usually they should show a little bit of green on them now. Again, put them fairly near the surface so that you can keep track of them. Roots down as much as possible, stems up. Okay.
So I maybe should be digging them up as well then.
In case you planted them too deep, I think that would be a good idea.
So they can be covered then? Just covered, eh?
Just.
Okay, thanks for the question there, Joanne. Okay. Good luck with those, eh?
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I got all excited when I saw Joanne's calling coming through from Midland, because they have the Butter Tart Festival coming up in a couple of weekends.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
I love butter tarts.
Dude, I remember somebody, I think they published a book, and it was the Butter Tart Tour of Ontario. I was like, oh, no, pick me. I'll do that too.
I could absolutely
We could be two blimps afterwards.
Yeah, we could. Speaking of peony, I noticed that, my goodness, it doesn't take long. The ants just always love those tops of the peonies, don't they? And I was told years ago that it's important to have the ants there for them to open. Is that true, or is it just an old wives' tale, as they would say?
As they would say. Okay, so again, going back to what I learned that you have to have ants in order for the peonies to open.
Right.
So the ants, supposedly, very attracted to those flower buds, those round buds that are on the end of the stems. Mm-hmm. They start as green, and then what happens is the ants arrive. They start licking, supposedly, some sugary secretion off that bud, which then allows that bud to expand and open. That's what I learned.
Okay.
However, since then, I think if we check that out, we go, there's actually a website, I think it's called Horticultural Myths.
Yeah, yeah.
If we went to that website, it would say, no, you don't need ants. You've done, many peonies open just fine without ants. It's not required. But on the other hand, don't be afraid of those ants. Don't try and knock them off. Don't spray them. If you want to try and knock them off with a spray of water, that's fine. But don't be using any ant killer, because you see ants in your peonies. Yeah. They're not hurting the peonies.
No. Any time that I've ever lived in a residence that has peonies, I've always seen ants on them. And once again this year, even though they're quite small still, they got a little ways to go. But already see the ants there.
It's a good point, you know, because I have a couple of peonies, and I don't think I have any ants on my property.
No.
I'm going to check them when I get home.
Yeah.
Because they're in bud right now.
Sure.
I mean, you're right. I've always had ants on my peonies, but I'm not so sure I have ants on my current peonies. Sure.
Well, I can ship some over to you. No, thank you. We're due for it.
But they will bloom, even without ants.
I know that. Okay. We are going to go to our next caller, which is calling from Mississauga. Good morning, Marge. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Oh, good morning. How are you both?
Oh, we're great. You know, of course, we're all excited about this weekend being doors open here in Toronto, and Zoomerplex is going to be just a hive of activity.
Exactly.
Yeah, like all those hummingbirds. Action, yes, yes.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah. We have hummingbirds come to our patio, so that's nice.
Lovely. Yeah, what do you got for Charlie there, Arch?
I have a quick question, and I tuned in late this morning, so maybe somebody's already asked. It's about the cleaning vinegar spray.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if I spray that on my patio stones, if there are tree roots under the stones, would that harm the tree roots?
No.
No. What
not at
news?
All. No, because remember the way vinegar works, it has to touch, number one, green. So green foliage, green leaves, green stems. The roots are well down under your patio. They're well protected by soil, et cetera. Yes.
Can I buy this anywhere that's cleaning vinegar?
In grocery stores, you can, yes. Certainly, you also, it's funny, I did a bit of experimenting with straight cleaning vinegar, which is a 10% acetic acid. So vinegar in the bottle, just straight, sprayed it on some weeds and waited for them to turn yellow, and they didn't. So I'm like, okay, maybe when we buy the weed killer at the garden center that is acetic acid, it's a higher percentage than 10%. So try the cleaning vinegar. And in the meantime, I'm going to Google what the vinegar solution is when we buy it as a weed killer. Maybe it's like 40 or 50% acetic acid. I'm not sure. But that 10% didn't do a lot at my place.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Very good.
Okay.
So when you do that research, you're going to...
I'll report it. You keep listening, and as soon as we have a minute or two of a break, I'll be on Mr. Google looking for answers to my questions.
Oh, thank you so much.
Great. You're thanks. Welcome. Yeah, thanks for your question there, Marge. I'll tell you what, Charlie.
Yes.
I will. Yeah, you have something you want to just...
Well, I wondered if you wanted to get to this email, but what were you going to say?
Yeah. No, I was going to take us to a break, but we can do this one. Yeah, this is the one from... New York State, yeah.
Orient, New York.
Yeah, from Anne, mm-hmm. who writes, she wrote us an email, wrote you an email. Please tell me which service,
Oh, so I am a regular listener.
Right. Right, I am a regular listener from Long Island, New York. Where can I follow your new program, Healing Gardens, in the U.S. of A?
Mm-hmm.
She says she loves following the podcast, and she's glad. Apparently, I'm not doing my job. She says, I'm glad that you're easing up on one question only, and apparently she enjoys when I ask questions. So
exactly.
There you go.
So you keep coming with those questions, Dean.
I have to be a little harder on people, apparently.
Well, no, but she likes it that we're expanding a little bit, not...
Well,
clamping.
Here's the deal. I figure that if you're asking about manure and then you are asking about how thick it should be on, or, you know, if it's a related sort of a related sub question, then I will. But if we switch to an entirely different, then I got to go off the air.
Yep.
There
Bye-bye.
You go. Yeah. That's how I look at it.
The little hook off the air. So the real question there was, how do you listen to the famous Healing Gardens documentary series when you live in the United States? And you know what? I don't have an answer, Anne, or anybody else who might listen to this podcast yet, because right now it is only being broadcast on Vision TV here in Canada,
right.
And it's only for people that have Vision TV, which is any subscriber to cable who then has bumped it up a notch, because it does not, as far as I know, come in the basic cable package. You have to have taken it up one notch. However, Healing Gardens will be out on the web. I think it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks. After each episode is aired on television, it will then be streamed. Now, I will certainly provide the information on where to find Healing Gardens on the web once it's available, but for now, it's only available on television.
On Vision TV. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. I am now going to take us to a quick break. Before I do that, I'm going to give out those numbers because we do have room on the lines.
Wow, yeah.
In Toronto, 416-360-0740. Or toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We would love to get your questions. And now, Charlie, you have some time to look up that
vinegar. I'm going to do my homework.
Okay, we'll be back with more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here in studio at Zoomerplex with Charlie Dobbin.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie, I've got brought my wife with me and my youngest daughter, Brelle.
Welcome to both of them.
Thought they would have a little time in Toronto, especially, you know, maybe hit the malls or something on the way home.
Sounds like fun.
You know, they don't have big malls like that in Collingwood.
But there's a couple here.
So during the break, while you were looking up vinegar, I was just chatting with my wife because we have some flagstone, one part of our house, and it's the bane of her existence that these weeds keep popping up. We didn't put the black cloth underneath, which may or may not have, you know, in the long run helped. But she read on the internet, I guess, a few years ago, it's a combination of vinegar and salt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think dish soap.
Yep.
And so we spray that down.
And
she does that a couple of years. And she has, I think we get the thumbs up, yeah?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, she has success.
Right. So that is what they are saying on the web, that straight vinegar is not as effective as vinegar and salt and soap. So just going here, I can
And we try and use a very natural soap. That is
right, yeah. Not detergent,
no,
but like an Ivory soap,
yep.
Or something,
or
that's,
Dawn or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here it's saying a cup of table salt, a tablespoon of liquid dishwashing soap, and blend it in with a gallon of vinegar.
Yeah. So that's what we do.
And they're saying 5% vinegar in this particular recipe.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, 10% straight didn't budge these weeds. Could be partially the weeds. Remember, younger weeds are always easier to kill.
Right.
Smaller, younger. Full sun certainly speeds up the death of the weed when you spray. I mean, I've had them shrivel up and turn yellow right before my very eyes when I've sprayed with herbicide that is vinegar, because you can really smell it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just not, you know, I don't have that bottle to check the what's in that bottle. But, you know, apparently it does work, so don't give up. I mean, keep spraying.
Yeah.
You know that. Ultimately, it's the vinegar kills the top of the plant,
right.
So you will typically have to spray more than once because the root is still alive and more leaves will grow.
Right.
So you've got to kill a couple times before the root will die.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, I think we do have some callers on the line.
Give you your
there we are.
Screen there.
We have got, we're going to Trudy in St. Catharines, or as I would call St. Kitts.
Mm-hmm.
How are you this morning, Trudy?
I'm doing very well, and how about you guys?
We're doing well.
Excellent.
We're doing well, yeah. What do you got for Charlie there?
In the fall of 2019, I bought a wisteria plant, and I planted it. And that first summer, it did nothing. It sort of caught leaves, didn't grow any taller, just sat there. Last year, it started to climb over the arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, it's all green and climbing over the arbor some more. But it hasn't gotten any flowers yet.
Have you ever pruned it in the whole time you've owned it?
No, the first year, it didn't need pruning.
No.
And it's just starting to go over the arbor, so I didn't really want to cut it back.
Okay, to get it to flower, you're going to have to cut it back. It's left on its own. Couple things, just a couple of warnings about wisteria. Do not fertilize it. Make sure that when you're fertilizing the lawn or the gardens around it, you don't fertilize it. Wisteria can be an extremely brutal plant in the sense that it will take over your entire backyard, including the entire neighborhood. It really goes. So be careful of that. Make sure whatever you've got it growing on, the arbor, whatever, is a very strong structure because this is a heavy plant. It lives for many, many years. Eventually, the trunk is like a tree trunk. So make sure it's a really strong, long-term structure. And the rules on pruning are can be a little bit challenging to explain on the radio. So just do a quick Google of pruning wisteria, and it's going to tell you you need to prune now. You're going to remove a whole bunch of green stuff now, but you're also going to do some more pruning in July or early August. And this is to encourage flowering. And the other thing is wisteria typically is a minimum of 7 years before it'll flower. So be patient.
Okay. Oh, it's super.
Okay.
Thanks for the question there, Trudy. Leave it to Charlie Dobbin to take the mysteria out of wisteria.
Oh, man.
I came up with that one like just on the call.
Yeah. You're fast. Oh, yeah. Sharp as a tack.
Wow. That's like being at home. For my ego.
Shades of Frank. He was always really good.
Well, that's our job, you know.
Yes. Keep me smiling, for sure.
Speaking of, I had a question about my clematis, which I transplanted in the back. Seemed very, very happy where I've transplanted it.
Oh, you did that this year?
I did it last year.
Oh, okay.
And so now it's just really seems very happy. So I have a question because I have one of those trellises that sort of pokes in the ground and goes up X amount of feet, and now it's gone beyond that. And I do plan to put up a trellis against the wall, which will be spaced out.
Yeah.
So my question is this. I know that certain plants can be pot bound, or they will only grow maybe as large as the pot, or it'll limit how much they grow. Is a clematis like that, or will it just keep going up and down if I don't provide more trellis?
But it's in the ground, right?
It's in the ground.
Okay. Do you have any idea what kind of clematis
no,
it is?
No, I don't. Because it was there when we bought the house.
But it's flowered in the past.
It has flowered, but it's been limited, which is why, because I think it was in too sunny of a spot.
Oh, too sunny.
And so I moved it from the front of the house to the back of the house. Okay. It seems to be happier now. But.
So the most traditional common clematis that people have is called Jackmanni, and it's purple.
Yeah.
It's a star-shaped flat flower.
Right.
Blooms in June-ish, late June.
Okay.
So it's probably that. I think Gail's nodding. Yeah. I can see her through the glass. So she thinks it's Jackmanni. So a very easy plant to grow.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Put this in your calendar. Every spring, it's a bit late now, but next spring, when the plants are starting to wake up, so it might be March, might be April, depending on the spring, your clematis is all brown tangle of vines at that point. But you're visiting that plant through that early spring period. You're watching it. At some point, little buds are going to start to form on the vines. They look, when they're the size of like a mouse ear, so they're tiny little fuzzy buds, you're going to get out your chainsaw or pruners or whatever it is. You're going to cut the whole thing down to 6 inches tall.
Oh, my.
You're going to take all that tangle of vines and you're going to throw that out in the composter.
Even with the little buds on there.
Yep. Yeah. Because the buds start at the bottom. So if you catch it at the right time, the energy is still there in the plant, at the bottom of the plant, and you're going to throw away that whole top section. And this is true for not all clematis. These are the ones there's groups of clematis, right? So these are what we call the summer flowering group.
Yes.
Because they bloom in like June or July in the summer, and they have those flat flowers. So if you do that, what will happen is every spring, you cut it all down, so every spring it's going to grow up. You're going to get a lot more green from the bottom, and you're going to get flowering from the bottom all the way up to the top.
Okay.
Instead of just flowers up on the tips, which is what you're going to get this year because that's where the flowers are going to be.
Gotcha. I can do that.
Yeah. So don't worry about how big your trellis is because every year you're going to cut it down.
Cut it down. Okay.
And they will grow 12, 15 feet a year.
Okay.
So give
it that
support.
I have to give it some more
room. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, got to go to our next break, our last break, I guess. But we will be back with more right here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yes, we are back here with The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here with Charlie Dobbin. And, Charlie, we get to go back to St. Catharines.
Yeah. Garden City.
Yes, Garden City, indeed. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We're going to talk to Lynn now. Welcome to The Garden Show, Lynn.
Thank you. I have a question for Charlie regarding my globe boxwoods. Mm-hmm. I have five along the side of my house. They've been there for 11 years. And this year, they're covered with webs and green caterpillars. Mm-hmm. I read up about them on the web. Mm-hmm. And I think I should take them out.
Okay, so what did you learn when you looked them up on the web?
Well, I learned that, this is quite invasive. You have to spray them all over underneath top leaves with a special spray. I think it was called BTK.
Right.
And I thought that sounded quite, sounds like a lot of work.
Awful. Yeah, you're right. Well, so what you have is an invasion of something called the box tree moth.
Yes.
So that's a very specific moth that it's right now not a moth because the moth is the adult form. What you're seeing right now are little caterpillars, which is the larval form of what will be a moth. And interesting you would even bring that up because right now some of us are also seeing a different caterpillar on our maple trees and our oak trees, which is what used to be called the gypsy moth, now renamed the spongy moth. So this is a caterpillar. All of these caterpillars are foliage-eating larvae, so they're going to just chow down and defoliate boxwood, in your case, maples and oaks in my case. And BTK is a bacteria in a bottle. Very specific bacteria, doesn't hurt any animals or people, but we spray it on the leaves of plants that are being attacked by larvae or caterpillars. The insect chews on the plant afterwards, ingesting that poison, that bacterial poison, which kills them in a day or two. It's not instant. It's very effective. It works really, really well. You have five boxwood, you said. I mean, They will be weakened considerably. The plants will be weakened if they are defoliated by these insects, which it sounds like is happening right now. So yeah. You're right. If you're unwilling to spray, you might as well just take them out because this is not going to go away. This boxwood tree or box tree moth is an invasive insect that arrived and was first found in Etobicoke in 2018. So it's still a fairly new insect in Ontario, but it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, somebody came around last year asking about it, mm-hmm. and I didn't have them last year, but now I have it, and mm-hmm. my neighbor has it mm-hmm. as well. So,
yep, and that's the drag with some of these insects. Once we have them, we tend to have them. Like, they will overwinter in your neighborhood and be right back next spring. So if you're not prepared to spray, because like I say, the spray does work. You just want to spray when it's not windy and, you know, when there's no rain in the forecast for at least 24 hours. It's very simple. It's a liquid in a bottle. You mix up with water and spray. And I have certainly done that at my house to control the spongy moth larva. And so anybody with boxwood with the problem either removes the boxwood or sprays.
Right. Because you said, like as you said, you're going to have to do this every year now.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. I don't think they're going.
Would you recommend something to replace them?
There's something I quite like. It's not that available. It's a form of holly, actually. So it's Ilex.
Ilex.
That's right. So the common name is inkberry. The proper name is Ilex, and the one I planted is the cultivar compacta. I can't remember what the species name is, but either way, Ilex compacta. Looks exactly like a boxwood, and those moths don't eat them.
Oh, okay.
Good luck with that, eh?
Well, living in St. Catharines, we have a few great...
Oh, yeah, you do. You have great nurseries. Get out there and get shopping.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Lynn. Yeah. Sorry, got to run, but
thanks, Lynn.
Thank you so much for the call and good luck. And what an appropriate way to end off the show with talking to somebody from the Garden City.
I know. Don't you love that?
Yeah, that's great.
It's like Brampton has one of those. They're like Rose City or something. Rose.
Okay.
Roses used to be grown in vast quantities for the cut flower industry all through Brampton and Richmond Hill and all up there. There's tons of greenhouses back before we were born.
I have some friends in Holland, Michigan, Holland. And they have a big tulip festival, of course, up there. They have millions and millions of tulips that apparently were brought in, of course, from Holland.
Of course.
Why not? Okay.
Hey, happy shopping.
Thank you.
You and the gals, get out there and, spend some money, work on the economy.
We are going to be here, though, for a while because of Doors Open Toronto.
Right.
We've got lots of people getting ready to come through the building.
We hope so. So we'll be happy to see. And you're going to want to check out the Television Museum, which is amazing.
Yes. I haven't been in there yet, so I'm looking forward to that.
I have. And we'll be back next week, of course, doing the Garden Show, not live. Well, we will be live, but we'll be in our respective home studios.
We will.
So thank you, everybody. Thanks. Great to see you live in person, Dean.
And I see the sun is coming out more than the drive down here. It's becoming a sunny day.
Thank you, Carlos. Thanks to all our great callers. Keep it coming. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.